So over lockdown, I have had quite a bit of spare time. I know lockdown's been different to different people, but for me, a lot of the normal everyday stuff that I would normally do was kind of taken away from me and still has been taken away from me. So I had spare time. And one of the things that I tried to fill my time was just to do a little bit of study. And so I did a course on church history. And so as you go through this course on church history, obviously the kind of big things you're learning about are bishops and priests and teachers and authors and popes and kings and all these kind of highbrow people are the big players, if you like, in the history of the church. But then I got to the last session of this course, and there was a quote that really grabbed me. And to be honest, it resonated with me a little bit through the whole of this course that I'd done. And I didn't get the exact quote, but it said something like this. It said, "The true history of the church is not primarily found in bishops, popes, princes, and kings, but in the everyday lives of millions of ordinary Christians laying their lives down for Jesus and for one another and impacting those around them with the life-changing truth of the gospel." And that quote just grabbed me. And like I said, through the course of that series, there were numerous times when I was thinking, if I'm really honest, I'm not sure I care too much what Pope Thingamabob V did, or Bishop, what's his face, and what he said about this stuff. And don't get me wrong, I know that these people have shaped the history of our faith, and in some ways, they had massive impact even on us today. But the reality was, I was kind of studying this course and wishing that I could be in the pews next to the real people who were in these churches that were being spoken about. I wished that I could be on the ground, living life with them and seeing what it was really like, not just knowing about the books and the sermons that their leaders wrote and spoke, but to know what it was really like. And that's that quote does sum up the reality of the history of Christianity, isn't it? Yes, there are big men and women down through the years, famous ones, ones we know about, ones we can study, ones we can read about. But actually, the church doesn't just consist of those at the top of the tree, if you like to put it that way. It consists of millions of people. And here today, across the world, millions of people belong to this thing we call the church. Most of them, you'll never meet them. You'll never even know their names. You'll never hear anything about them. And yet in their lives is tied up the story that God is writing. I think when we look at church history in heaven, it won't be all about Pope this and priest that and bishop what's his face. It will be about millions and millions of ordinary people doing extraordinary things because they belong to Jesus. And so that got me thinking about the whole idea of significance. What does it mean to be significant? Does it mean to be the author of 40 or 50 books? Does it mean to be the leader of a big church through half of your life? Does it mean to be named the Pope or whatever it might be? And I believe, as I've already pointed towards, the answer to that is no. And so I want us just to think for a few minutes this morning about what real significance is, what it really means to have a life with meaning and purpose, because I trust that we all want that. We don't want our lives just to drift along and whatever will be, will be. We want our lives to count. And in that light, I'm going to read for us some verses from Mark chapter 14. Mark 14, verses 3-9. And in these verses is a great statement of significance. Mark 14, starting at verse 3, says this. "And while Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, 'Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.' And they scolded her. But Jesus said, 'Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. for you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. As I said, a great statement of significance at the end of that passage, isn't there? Across the whole world, what this woman did for Jesus is going to be taught. And of course, as we're looking at this passage, we kind of prove that out, don't we? Because we're across the world and we're thousands of years later and we're talking about what she did. But I want to suggest to you that the reason that this woman's actions were significant is not because they were better or greater than anyone else's. It's simply the fact that we cannot record everyone's actions in the Bible. And doesn't the Bible itself tell us that all the books in all the world couldn't contain all of the things that Jesus did, let alone the things that others did around him? And so we simply have these actions of this woman as an example of what it might look like to be significant, to do something that is worthy of being proclaimed across the whole world for the rest of time until Jesus returns. So let's ask that question of this text. What does it mean to do something that's significant? And I think we'll find today that the reality is we can do things that are worthy of being told across the world. They probably won't be. In fact, they almost certainly won't be, because no one cares about our little church in our little town in a corner of a country that most people in the world probably haven't heard of. But the reality is we can do things that are as significant as this woman does. And so four things about true significance, four characteristics, if you like, of what it means to do things that are truly significant. And the first one is this: true significance is gospel inspired. And the more I've thought about that last verse that I read, verse 9, the more I just see a beautiful truth in there. Let's read it again. Truly, Jesus says to us, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Do you know what that verse is telling us? That this woman's actions weren't a standalone kind of glorious thing that we're going to be told across the world. The reality is, when other people are searching for significance, and probably sometimes when we're searching for significance, what we want is to do something off our own back, do something standalone, if you like, that we can be lifted up for, that we can be praised for, that we can be proclaimed as whatever good thing we want to be proclaimed as. We want it to be pointing back to us. But what this woman does doesn't point back to her, because it's gospel inspired. There's a reason that the gospel is going to be preached before this woman's actions are spoken about. Because without the gospel as the context, without the gospel empowering what she does, it doesn't exist. No one cares about a woman pouring an expensive jar of perfume over Jesus' head without the gospel being there in the start. There's another episode in the gospels very, very similar to this. It's a different woman, but she does something very similar in Luke chapter 7. You can have a read later on. I'm sure you probably know the story. But Jesus, when this woman pours perfume on him, and if you remember, she cries and washes his feet with her tears, he goes on to talk about why she's done what she's done. And essentially the truth is this: that she was forgiven much, and because she was forgiven much, she loved much. Why did she anoint Jesus' feet? Why did she wash his feet with her hair? Because of what he had done for us, for him first. And that is where true acts of significance always come from. It's not a worldly search for meaning and purpose and that kind of recognition that comes from doing something significant. It's not about climbing to the top of the tree in a certain company. It's not about having the fastest car or earning the most money or being the best sportsman or musician you can possibly be so that people praise you. It's not about any of that. It's about a response to what Jesus has done for us. And it's about acts of love that don't show ourselves off, but show him off. That's what this woman was doing. She did something incredibly sacrificial. She gave something to Jesus. And the whole point was to honor him. The whole point was to lift him up. The whole point was to glorify him. And that has to be where significance comes from. It completely changes everything about it. It doesn't come from this worldly desire to be recognized. It comes from this godly desire to give back to the one who gave everything for us. Jesus was willing to be beaten and mocked and crown of thorns rammed on his head and then nails hammered through his wrists and his ankles. He was willing to hang on a Roman cross and bear more than we can ever imagine so that we could be forgiven, so that we could go free, and so that we today could sing songs like we just sang, singing about a day coming when we will be with our King forever. Jesus gave everything for us. And the gospel, it demands of us, not in a harsh way, but it simply does. It requires of us that we give back to him. And we do everything we do because we love him, because he's first loved us. And so these actions of this woman, they were inspired by the gospel. She may not have understood everything, but she knew that Jesus loved her. And therefore, she wanted to give back to him. We can never pay him back. It's not about that. It's about giving back what we can because of all that he's done for us. And that kind of leads us straight on to the second point. True significance is found when things are done for Jesus. And you see him talk about that, don't you? It's an interesting statement he makes. She has done a beautiful thing for me because you always have the poor with you. The poor will always be here for the rest of this world. There will always be people who don't have much. There will always be opportunities, to give to the poor. The reality is, what these people standing around kind of said to themselves and got indignant about, you can kind of see the truth in what they were saying, can't you? Because this perfume worth over a year's wages, that could have done a lot of good for the poor. And the same is true today. You know, if anyone's out there with a year's wages and you want to give it to the work of CAP, it will be used wisely and well to help poor people in many different ways. But Jesus turns the focus away from that. And he says, you don't always have me with you. She's done a beautiful thing. Why? Because she did it for me. She did it to me. And initially, we might look at that and say, well, that puts us at a disadvantage, doesn't it? Because Jesus isn't here. We can't pour perfume on his head or on his feet or whatever because he isn't around. But let me just remind you of verses that I'm sure you know well that really change the dynamic of this, don't they? It's found in Matthew chapter 25. As Jesus is speaking about the final judgment, he's talking to two groups of people. He puts the sheep and the goats on different sides, and he starts speaking to the sheep, to his people, and he says, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then these sheep, God's people, turn back to Jesus and said, when did we do that? We never met you. So how can we have done that for you? And he turns around to them and he says, verse 45 of Matthew 25, he answers them saying, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to, wrong verse. That's the wrong verse. You don't want to read that verse. Verse 40, the king will answer them. Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. As you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And so the truth is that as we go around our day-to-day lives, Jesus is back in heaven, he's ruling and he's reigning and waiting to come back one day. But even as we go about our lives, Jesus is everywhere. He's everywhere we go. Every person who comes into your life, that there is a possibility of you serving effectively, that is Jesus to you. as you serve them, as you bless them, as you clothe and feed and visit, as Jesus says, as you do anything elsewhere, Jesus talks about even a cup of cold water in my name won't lose its reward. As you serve people, you are serving him. As you give your life away for those in your life, in our church, those that you rub shoulders with day to day or that you meet once in a blue moon, as you love them and serve them, you are doing it for Jesus. And that is a remarkable thing. And I have to confess that I wish that I remembered that a bit more. I wish, and I do sometimes, I do sometimes tell myself this, but occasionally you get the person that you visit that isn't being hugely compliant with what you're asking them to do, even though you're trying to help them as much as you possibly can. I need sometimes to remind myself that I'm not just serving that person. When I serve someone, when I give something away of myself for them, it's as if I'm doing it for Jesus. It's as if I'm laying my life down for him. It's as if I'm pouring ointment over his feet, even though he's not here. Physically, he's not here. But I can still serve him. And that's where true significance comes from. It's when what is done for Jesus. So true significance is gospel inspired, is done for Jesus. And thirdly, true significance is doing what we can, is doing what we can. I kind of love that this line is in this story, because what this woman gives is huge, isn't it? Already kind of pointed to the fact that the 300 denarii it could have been sold for, this perfume was probably over a year's wages for your average person. So in our today's money, you're talking about thousands and thousands of pounds that she literally just poured over the Lord Jesus. So this was an expensive gift. This was sacrificial, you might say. Of course, that's always relative, isn't it? Because if she had 10 of these perfume bottles lined up on her shelf, then one of them isn't hugely sacrificial, is it? We don't know the background, but it was a lot of money. It was worth a lot of money. But what does Jesus say about her? Verse 8, she has done what she could. She has done what she could. He doesn't point to the expensiveness of the gift. He doesn't tell everyone, oh, look how much she gave. Make sure that you're giving just as much as she does. He says she has done what she could. And you know, I think this is a lesson that I've having to be learn again through lockdown, when things that I've done for a few years now have been taken away from me, when the busyness of rushing around visiting person after person and doing what I can to help them has been taken away. I've had days when I've been massively frustrated that I couldn't do more. I want to be out there doing things. I don't want to be sitting at home doing nothing with nothing to motivate myself, nothing to aim towards. I want to be out there doing things. And there have been days when that frustration has threatened to kind of take hold and take over. But I've had to remind myself of this truth, that God doesn't call us to do loads. He doesn't call us to copy others who are doing much. That's one of the whole things about this lockdown, isn't it? That we've gone online and you've looked around at other churches' Facebook pages and they appear to be getting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of views. And then I do a video and it gets 3. Thank you to the 3 people who watched it. That is amazing. But you see where the problem comes in, isn't it? You want to be doing more and you want to be reaching more people. But the reality is, Jesus just says she did what she could. And if all I can do is reach 3 people with a Facebook video, glory to God. That's enough. If that's all I can do, if that's all I can manage, then it's enough. Because Jesus says she did what she could. Of course, if there's a potential, and if anyone knows how to get more followers on Facebook and we can reach hundreds of people, let's do it. But right now, we can't. I can't. I don't have that much to do. And so I've had to remind myself, God isn't looking for volume of stuff. He's just looking for you to be faithful. And so I've had to wake up in the morning and look at a day that's full of not very much and say, just do what you can. Just do what's there and do it well. Just do and be faithful with the little things that God has given you. And you know, that's enough. That's enough for Jesus. And so it should be enough for us. Again, we shouldn't be bought off with this worldly idea of looking at those who are really successful, who seem really fruitful, who seem to be reaching thousands and thousands of people, or maybe they genuinely are. And we shouldn't compare ourselves with them. What we need to look at is my life, what God has given me to do. And we need to do that to the best of our ability, whether it seems tiny or whether it seems much. True significance is not doing what other people do. It's not doing the great swelling things that will be told down through the ages because of how great they are. It's just doing what you can. It's just being faithful with what God has given you to do. So true significance is gospel inspired. It's done for Jesus. It's doing what we can. And fourthly, and just a kind of a warning, I suppose, from the passage, true significance is likely to be misunderstood. That's what happens to this woman, isn't it? She pours this perfume over Jesus' head, and there are others around looking at her saying, why are you doing that? What's the point in that? Surely this could have been given to the poor. The others around didn't understand what she was doing, but she did. She knew what she was doing, and Jesus commends her for what she did. And so the question has to be, when we're going about our lives seeking for true significance, who are we trying to please? Who are we trying to please? And it's such a danger, even as Christians, isn't there, to get caught in the trap of wanting to please the people in our church, in our lives. And we know sometimes the things that we could do where we'll get a pat on the shoulder. We'll get a well done from certain people. And we need to be so careful with that we don't get bought off with trying to earn the praise of men, even the right men and women, even people within our church. We need to make sure that what we're doing is for Him. The motivation of what we're doing is not for the praise of men, but the motivation is to gain the only well done that really matters, the only well done that will last forever. And that's when Jesus looks at us and says, well done, good and faithful servant. And maybe sometimes that will mean doing things that even our closest friends and others don't understand. Maybe that will mean sometimes doing things that others are questioning. Why are you doing that? But when we do those things and we do them for Him, it shows that our motivation is in the right place. It's aimed in the right direction, because true significance only comes when something is done for Jesus, for His glory. There were beautiful verses in 1 Peter where it talks about our faith being tested through this life. And one day that faith will be revealed. And it will be revealed for praise and glory and honor. But not now, at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes back, these stories will get told. And like we've said, they won't just be for our glory. We'll be involved, but they'll be for His glory, that He will be lifted high because we've been faithful, not trying to push ourselves forward, not searching for worldly significance, not searching even for the well done from those around us primarily, but searching for His well done and His only. True significance is nothing like what the world sees it as. True significance to most people may seem like nothing at all, but what matters is what it seems like to God. And so let's be encouraged today that we are just as much a part of the history of the church as Calvin and Augustine and Tertullian and Bishop Clement of Rome and all these men down through the years, and women as well, who've given their lives and done great things that we still read about. We're just as much a part of the church and the story of the church as they are, because we, day to day, by the grace of God, are laying our lives down for Jesus. And one day, that is what will be rewarded. So we pray. Father, thank you for your word to us today. I just want to pray that, Lord, something of what we've looked at would hit home. I pray, Father, that you'd be constantly changing our mindset, that we wouldn't be living our lives the way that people in the world do, which is for things that are temporary and passing and things that don't really count. Lord, teach us and show us what it means to live for things that matter. Teach us what it means to pour our perfume on the head of your Son, because he is the one who truly counts. Thank you that he gave everything for us so that we could be forgiven and set free. Lord, help us respond in love for all that he's done, not trying to earn anything from you because you've given it to us as a gift, but Lord, simply so that your Son would be glorified, lifted high, and would be praised because of that which we are able to do for him. Lord, again, speak to us, open up your word to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.